That's what they got before as a winner, and I was able to capable of pitching nine innings every damn time I walked out there. That's why Tony over there at I think he was the one that got me out of from the St. Louis Cardinals down to Rochester, to their farm club. He wanted help and he kept hollering for help. And so what the hell was his name as managing the general manager then to put the colored fella in baseball?
Oh, Branch Rickey.
Branch Rickey. There's a story for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was sold to the St. Louis Cardinals, and Branch Rickey was the general manager there in St. Louis. So I took a train to St. Louis to work out my contract. And I wanted to raise over my New York Giants contract. And he couldn't see that, you know. So I spent almost 2 hours in his office with him, haggling back and forth. He orders a big meal, sits at his desk and is eating. This is around noontime. He's breaking down my morale, he thinks. But I was full. And I wasn't fooled. So after he got through eating, he hem-hawed a little bit. And he said, well, now, what are you going to do? You going to sign a contract? I said, no, Mr. Rickey. I said, as long as you don't want to give me a raise, I said, I can't afford to stay up here in the big leagues. I said, I'm going home. He says, which way are you going? I says, home. Oh, and I turned around and walked out. And the shortstop, what the hell was the name, come up from I pitched against him before. Hell of a shortstop, a little skinny guy. Stop it. But I finally went back to, after they called me up and said they accept my contract, I reported and they sent me down to Rochester.
Rochester.
So that's where I saw Marty Marion, and he went up the big leagues from there.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to tell you about him? I forgot what the hell I was going to tell you. Some story about, oh, Marty Marion was out in that office, you know, when I was during the time I was with Rickey working over the contract. And him and the third baseman, Kurowski, I guess.
Whitey Kurowski?
Yeah, Whitey McCroskey.
Or Kurowski, I think.
McCroskey or what the hell.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, they were next going into the argument of their contract. So when I reported to spring training, the shortstop, what is the name again?
Marty Marion.
Come over to me and says, hey, hi. He says, what the hell did you do with that? You had that general manager of ours that damn crossed up the boom. We come in there, we couldn't get a damn word in, and we signed our contracts as is, and we walked out. And I said, well, I'm sorry I had anything to do with that, but I said, he tried to out-starve me to sign a contract, and I said, I went on home from there.
Yeah. Well, what, other than that, what were your impressions of Branch Rickey?
I thought he was a miserly soul,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
I think a lot of other people thought that, too.
He was very cheap, not for himself or his family, but for anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he's good for the game?
I'd say no.
No?
He was kind of a selfish personality, and he was judge and jury all by himself, mm-hmm. and that's the way he wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought much of him.
Well, what?
Terry was a fella that never talked to the ball players. I never see him. I sat with Terry this one game I was pitching, and I forget who was up the plate and hit a couple of balls off of me, and I come back in. See, we went over those how to pitch to each hitter every day, regardless. Same, have the meeting with the catcher and the infielders. So I'm pitching inside. This guy hit the fence twice. Not over, but hit the side, doubled.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Bill, I said, I can't pitch that guy inside. I said, can I pitch him outside? He says, how can you get him out? I said, let me pitch my way. Okay. And I said, and strike him out. I prayed up.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get that ball inside to get turned on.
So the manager...
I knew him anyway.
The manager called all the pitches, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see.
Well, we had our way of pitching, you know. I know that some pitchers can pitch one way to a guy, and you can't pitch the same way he pitches.
Yeah.
Especially a guy with speed, he can throw a ball down through the middle and throw a ball by a guy. But when you're working, you know, man after man, you ain't firing balls past everybody because they put that extra effort in for that third strike.
Hi, when you were a kid, obviously we know you as a pitcher. Did you play any other positions on the days that you weren't pitching? Were you an outfielder or infielder or anything?
Well,
or did you just strictly
pitch? I could play the outfield because I could hit. And when I was down in the 3-hour league, every game I was in, I had one or two hits, you know. And I drive in my own runs.
Mm-hmm.
And I always figured, well, if nobody can help me, I can help myself.
Yeah. How about when you were pitching? Tell me exactly what you threw. What was your arsenal of pitches? I know you said you had fastball, curveball, screwball.
I was real fast. And I had come up with it. Well, I come up with that screwball earlier but with my speed and everything, and my curveball, that's all I needed, because I could pop it real good.
Did you learn the screwball from anybody? Did you learn it from Hubble, or
I learned it
did you
from,
pick it up your own?
From the manager, Tony Kaufman, of Rochester. Tony Kaufman had a sinker. He used to throw sinker, you know, it just break down all the time. And I said, how the hell did you throw that sinker yours? And he showed me. And so instead of me coming up with a sinker, I come up with Hubble's screwball. I had one as good as Hub.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that's something. That's saying something. Not taking anything away from Hubble, but geez, he was one hell of a pitcher. Watch him sitting in the rocking chair out there and rocking back and forth and taking those guys out of there one at a time. It made me think that was a pretty good. I used it for a changeup too, you know. When I pull the string on a little bit, you come up there and just fall off the table and make swing. If they get under it, pop it up. Third baseman Hack, Stan Hack, would always say to me, what the hell are you throwing? He says, you're working me to death out here. He thought about four or five pop-ups right around the third base, hardly taking four or five steps.
Mm-hmm.
Those left-handers would swing and pop them. But that screwball break off and break down.
Did you ever mess around with any other pitches, knuckleball or anything illegal or anything like that?
Oh, I tried fooling around with a screw or a knuckleball, but I never could make it float. You know, because the seams makes it dive one way or the other. But my fastball, when I hold it up the seams like that there, raise that one finger a little bit on a ball. See, I'd be shut down on that there and this one, but it's just a little loose up there. And by throwing like that there, I'd balance it. You go up there and sail just nice, but it sailed quick. You know, come up there. Use my head.
Who are some of the guys that you roomed with over the years? Do you have any good stories?
I had some dandies. Let's see now, who did I have? I had Louis P. Chiazza when I was with the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I first went up there, I had, what's his name, former third baseman Jackson. Jackson?
Talk about that. You see,
Jimmy's a. Oh, that there is really a guy that's just out of this world.
Yeah, I'm talking about Jimmy Fox. That's who he roomed with the last 2 years with the Cubs.
Yeah. Yeah, he was quite a guy. He was, you know, he caught me in the bullpen. You know, I fell asleep on his shoulder one afternoon there. And slept through the whole ball game. I went out the night before, you know, after pitching a hell of a ball game. I beat Brooklyn the day before, and I went out that night. Rocky Davis Andrews down in Greenwich Village, and that's where I always went down and ate my meals in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
But Fox was my roomie, and I come back to the ballpark from where I was the night before, and we were we, I'm going to lose it again. I don't know whether it's Philadelphia or Cincinnati. I had a ball was hit, just an easy fly ball, and Peter Slarry was playing left field.
Yeah.
He misjudged the fly. He ran away from it, run out, and he turned around and saw that it was going to be short.
Mm-hmm.
And he caught the ball, sliding, and his elbow hit the ground, and you can see the ball flop out, and he picked it right up again. But he gave him a base hit on it. If that had been in the latter innings, it was an outright error because you misjudged the ball.
Yeah.
And that was the only hit they had. Ball hit out of the infield. That's what teed me off.
Yeah. And that was, you say that was against Philadelphia?
It was either Philadelphia or Cincinnati. I don't remember. It's in the book here someplace.
Now, that's when you were with the Cubs or the Giants? Cubs.
Yeah, the Chicago Cubs. Right. I'd like to have that no hit then because that stays in the books forever.
So that was just it was a one hitter then?
Mm-hmm. It was a one hitter.
Any walks? Anything else you remember?
No.
Nobody
got on base.
Was there of the major league stadiums anyway, was there a favorite place that you liked to pitch? Was there some place that you had better luck than others? Or
I loved ballpark, the Jersey City. It was strictly a big league ballpark. They had those big sliding doors out in front, and they pull them down. But after, I guess they had a saloon up front in there and everything. But that was really a nice ballpark. You know, the polo grounds, third base, ball was hit and it popped up and come down and hit the side of that where they keep the runs and scores up
there.
Big metal box like on there, just back of the third base. Ball came down, just barely slides down it, home run.
Yeah.
And I said, Jesus Christ, on that first hit.
Yeah. Tough place to pitch, wasn't it?
Well, that was my expression. You know, when I saw the ball and they called it a home run, I said, polo grounds, holy mackerel.
Yeah, but if they hit the ball to center, it was 483 feet, I think, the center field. So you had to make your mistakes there.
Had a mile out there.
Yeah.
That's where the club rooms were way back there.
Yeah, up the steps. Yeah.
You run out of breath. Go, didn't even get your uniform off.
How about Wrigley? You know, now it's they talk about what a great hitter's park it is. Blah blah blah. That year that you guys were in the World Series in '45, I was checking it out. The whole team, for the whole year, the Cubs, your team, only hit 57 home runs. All year.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about what a great hitter's park Wrigley Field is. Was it that way when you were playing, or was just the ball deader then, or what was
it? I think the ball is wider. It looks like a golf ball. I've seen fellas hit balls that didn't even swing hard, you know. And that ball goes up, it looks like it's pop fly, but it keeps on going. Where the hell did they put a propeller on that now? I just wondered.
How about we only have...
You know, there's a lot of hitters I look at now up that plate, and they're in there over that plate, and the strike zone is so small, they don't have to be up there looking for a ball high around the letters. Just swing down there around the knees all the time. I see a guy that's right down there, and they know they're going to get it down there.
Yeah. Okay, what was the strike zone when you were pitching?
Huh?
What was the strike zone when you were pitching?
Well, from the knees to the waist here. But the box now is right down there. They all pitch for that corner out there.
Yeah.
What the hell? Come in on them. I think when a fella comes in on a hitter now, he pops it up. Pops it up every time. This, what's his name? That steals so many bases that went to the Montreal?
Or Toronto. Ricky Henderson.
Toronto.
Henderson.
Yeah, Henderson. Ricky. I look at him and... he isn't such a hell of a hitter either. He's going to want to get on and steal.
Yeah. He's got a pretty good eye. I'll tell you what, we got to stop the tape here because we're going to run out.
All right.
Another one in there.
Oh, you didn't have it on, huh?